This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's happening? How are you today? Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Coming to you live from our Quicken Loans studio, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. 855-212-4227 on Twitter. So on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. I'll tell you what, this Warriors thing has taken a really interesting turn.
I know.
I mean, to the point where it's starting to become very, very hard to say with any sort of believability that this is going to resolve itself anytime soon.
Well, winning kind of makes this go away a little bit. They all have goals that they want to achieve, which is winning another championship, which would be a three-peat for the last five. I mean, look, I get it, the anger that happens sometimes, but I just can't make myself make a big deal about that.
I think it's a really big deal.
Only because people are looking towards next year. But, I mean, does that matter right now? Does next year matter? Where Kevin Durant's going to end up, what team he's going to ultimately decide to go to when he leaves the Golden State Warriors, which we all believe he does. Mm-hmm. But if they really want to win a championship, they can't worry about that nonsense.
Ordinarily,
right now,
I would say that you're right, that it shouldn't matter next year, but it seems like they're having a rough time compartmentalizing.
Well, I think Draymond Green is having a rough time compartmentalizing this.
That's all you need. He's the most vocal person on that team.
Which
he's
is why he was suspended.
Yeah, which is a huge step. It's not like, well, I mean, when you think about what they did, they suspended the heartbeat of their team, the blood and guts of their team, for what? They suspended him for going low, going low. It's funny, we talk about Le'Veon Bell here for months, and apparently it's similar, about his future. Not so much how much he's making or how much he wants to make, but, you know, it seems like Kevin Durant's questioning whether or not Draymond's questioning whether or not Durant is all in. And I don't know if you saw the heck was it?
I can't say that he's not all in. I mean, I understand what Draymond's saying. And look, the protocol, end of game, situational basketball, just like with situational football, situational baseball, it is what it is. You have a plan in place for what's going to happen. At the end of a game that's tight, especially with Steph out, and the ability of him to knock down a 40-footer if you need to, because there's only, 5 seconds left in that game when he got the rebound, get the ball to KD. KD will bring it up. He'll figure out whether he's taking the shot or finding the open man, and you go from there. Draymond Green didn't do that. Mm-hmm. KD expressed his frustration with him not following the end-of-game situational basketball protocol, and Draymond took offense to it. I mean, why he took offense to it? Maybe he was having a bad day. I don't know. Maybe they would not have suspended him if he was having a bad day. No, I'm just saying.
There's no way.
I'm talking
it's
about
so much
why,
deeper.
I'm talking about why did Draymond
don't
go
know.
Off on this?
Don't
he,
know.
He burnt his coffee or something in the morning.
I don't know.
Just feeling ornery.
But it doesn't seem like a basketball thing. It seems deeper. It seems. Listen, I understand that a lot of times we go fishing, we're looking for a big story, and we try to pull something out. And it's not always the big trophy fish that we make it out to be. Mm-hmm. This seems like it's going down a road of disrepair, of disarray. Jeez, I tweeted this about an hour or so ago. Thomas Duffy, I don't know who he is, but he actually had a GIF here. It's about 8 or 9 seconds. Mm-hmm. Already has 2.5 million views, right? And at the end of their squabble, Kevin Durant mouths, and he read his lips, "That's why I'm out." Hmm. Did you see that?
No.
He said to Draymond,
"Yeah, but you know this.
That's why I'm out."
But you know this already. I mean, don't we know this already? Draymond,
I don't know.
Draymond Green knows it. Look,
how did we know that?
Kevin Durant was never going to be long for Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a year. Now we say it, it's a little easier to say it now when Kevin Durant says, "Now I'm out," right, or "This is why I'm out."
You knew he was doing this. Kevin Durant is no different than LeBron James. Kevin Durant wanted to win some championships and put himself on a pedestal at the top of the basketball upper echelon, and he's done so by winning two straight titles and two straight finals MVPs. Because that's really when he was right earlier in the – was this offseason? I think it was earlier in the offseason when he was talking about the MVP, how he's never going to win the MVP because people are going to hate on him, mm-hmm. right? And people are going to look at LeBron and give him – the kudos.
LeBron hasn't got an MVP in a while.
True.
I mean, LeBron's gotten hosed a couple times.
But he was in the conversation last year, LeBron.
Kevin Durant's been in the conversation. He's been in the conversation.
Not really.
I'd like to see the voting.
James Harden's going to score 60% of their points.
Giannis got some votes.
Giannis gets some votes.
People generally throw Durant's name in the periphery. But anyway, what does that even mean? I don't even know. What does this even? What does that have to do with this problem with the Warriors?
I'm telling you what it does. At the very beginning of Kevin Durant deciding to leave Oklahoma City and go to Golden State, he wanted one thing. I'm going to win championships, and I'm going to win MVPs that I can control. He can't control the other stuff. He can't control the regular season MVP because other people are going to take every shot like Russell Westbrook did a couple of years ago, mm-hmm. or they're just going to have a spectacular season like James Harden did last year, or it's going to be LeBron. Everybody feels good about LeBron, and they can't get LeBron off their lips, so it's going to be LeBron and not KD. What he can control is when they get to the finals, and he goes and balls mm-hmm. and puts himself as a finals MVP and says, look at me now.
Mm-hmm.
We knew he was coming to do this, and he's done it, and he's going to do it again this year, and then he's going to bounce. I did what I had to do. I won my three-peat. I'm in the same conversation as Jordan and Kobe and Shaq and all these three-peaters that have done it before.
Mm-hmm.
Look at me. I'm going to be my own man now. You knew that was happening. You've been saying it for longer than anybody. Now that it's on the front page or on the top of our minds because Draymond Green decides to get ornery like a jilted girlfriend who jilted the guy before. I mean, what do you expect? Seriously.
I didn't expect this, Teak. I got to be honest with you. I didn't expect this. First of all, I thought they were tight.
We weren't looking.
I thought they were boys.
That
they were boys.
They're tight in the sense that Draymond wanted him to come, so he helped him come here. I mean, did they know each other really before he came here?
I don't think so. But I always thought that they had a deeper connection than say Durant and Curry.
Hmm.
Like I felt like there was a bond there.
Yeah, because but it still doesn't mean you're tight.
They like Draymond seemed to wire him, wind him up, and really implore him to remain who he is, not to defer, not to blend in. I felt like Draymond was kind of his engine here in some way, giving him a license to remain being Kevin Durant. And now it seems like he's lost, even if it's temporary, like he's lost his greatest supporter. I mean, they suspended him.
I know.
It's not like it was just a little argument at practice or even during the game, and they're out there that night. They told Draymond Green, whatever you did in that locker room.
We know what it was. Well, he did in the locker room.
I hear you. Whatever you said about his future status, it's so egregious. It's so below what is expected and accepted of this world-class organization that despite you being our leader in so many ways, you got to pack your bags, you got to leave for the day. We don't want you here.
Yeah,
you have to go.
That's
pretty big.
It's being subversive. It's being passive-aggressive. It's being...
I don't think he's ever passive-aggressive. No, I think that he stepped up and he said, you got one foot in, you got one foot out. Nothing passive-aggressive about Draymond Green. You always know where you stand with Draymond Green. You have to interpret anything.
KD,
I don't think.
You are a whatever for leaving us after next year.
Look what they keep doing.
Seriously.
Oh, I love this. I can't get enough.
Who knows if that's going to happen or not.
Look at this.
But the reality is Kevin Durant is not going to be long for the Golden State Warriors, but we knew it, right? This isn't surprising to me. Draymond, I don't know why. To me, the question isn't that this happened, because it clearly was going to. It's why is it happening now? Like, what happened after 12 games when they were, 11-1 or 11-2, whatever they were before they lost a couple nights ago? Obviously, they won last night. But what happened with Draymond Green that was so egregious that made him lose his temper.
Don't know.
It really is
amazing. I do know that there were some stories, nothing serious. Remember when the Warriors came in for their only visit to the Garden? Mm-hmm. I guess it was about 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
And they had Make the Knicks Great Again, hashtag on, and that big poster with Kevin, with KP and Durant and the Larry O'Brien Trophy. I don't know if it was Bleacher. I don't know who had it, but somebody said that they were ribbing KD pretty good about that. Mm. And I know that Klay Thompson expounded and said, this is kind of who we are. If you can't take ribbing, You know, you basically can't hang with us. And I understand that when you play 82 relatively mundane games, mm-hmm. like it's not mundane for the Sixers right now who are trying to win a championship. Yep. It shouldn't be mundane for the Celtics who are trying to get over the hump, or Anthony Davis who's trying to get something going in New Orleans before he leaves, or a young Suns team. Like, it shouldn't be mundane for anybody really but the Warriors.
You're right.
Because when you play 82 and then you play 20 more from tax day until the middle of end of June, you get tired and basketball becomes a job. So I understand that they've almost got to entertain themselves, that they've got to almost kind of freshen up their day-to-day existence. Otherwise, they're going to get bored. But this strikes me as dangerous. And I'll tell you what, as much as we – and listen, let's switch gears on you. You see this picture behind us with Durant in the Knick uniform? I'm actually getting worried now what happened the other night, that this is going to adversely affect that.
Why?
And I'm going to tell you why. I believe that, and I still believe that Kevin Durant's going to play for the Knicks. Mm-hmm. I've said that. If I'm wrong, whatever. And by the way, for the record, back in 2010, I never once bought the LeBron coming to the Knicks garbage. I never once bought it. I said he's not coming. I believe he's going to play for the Knicks. However, if this stuff with Draymond Green gets so bad, all right, I wonder if Kevin Durant can become like the scorned, use the term, jilted lover, mm-hmm. and say, you know what? Instead of going 3,000 miles away and trying to help the Knicks become functional, I'm going to go with LeBron, and I'm going to shove it down your throat, and you're not going to win another championship. And I'm going to stay in the Western Conference, and I'm going to go play with LeBron James. Like, that's what I'm starting to worry about as a Knicks fan.
That's interesting.
I'm starting to see, like, a rivalry growing between these two guys.
Yeah, I mean, this is what happened. This is what happened when Steph is out.
Steph's the peacemaker.
Seriously, we don't give Steph enough credit for being the calming influence on this Golden State Warriors team. His you see it in his demeanor. He's easy.
Yep.
He's easygoing. He's calm.
Ball moves around the perimeter. Everybody's happy.
He's the catalyst. He's running around everywhere. So even if you're kind of not feeling it, you look at Steph and you're like, damn, that little dude is
mouthpiece hanging out.
Right? He's moving.
Doing a shimmy.
I got to go find my spot or whatever, because he's moving so much, I'm going to be standing in a void eventually, right? So without Steph, this team loses a little bit of the passive alpha, because that's who Steph is.
That's a good way to put it.
Because he's not like the guy. He's not Draymond. Mm-hmm. He's not even KD.
Nobody's Draymond in the league.
I agreed. But when it comes down to it, Steph's the man.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Steph is the one that's stirring that drink there.
Yep.
And you see it whenever he's there and available and really healthy, which he's been increasingly not so over the last year and a half or so.
But they won without Kevin Durant.
You're right.
I mean, Steph Curry delivered the first championship since 1975. 75 or 76? I think it was 75. I think it was 75. Right. But mid-70s.
Yep.
That's Steph Curry. Kevin Durant was around when they raised that banner. He was doing his thing with Westbrook, clanking bricks in game 6 and 7 against the Warriors.
Steph is available, but if he wasn't, do you think they still win this year?
if Steph is not available?
If Steph is not available.
And I know that's a good question. Do I still think they would? I'm not buying the Rockets. You know that.
No,
yeah, I'm trying to think of the other team that could. I love what Portland's doing, but I can't buy it long term. Mm-hmm. I just can't. Who am I missing in the West that is really truly viable?
I mean, the Spurs are
really good,
around.
But I can't buy them yet.
Yep.
I'll tell you this: I might get them to the NBA Finals, but either the Sixers,
Bucks,
the Celtics, or the Bucks, I believe would beat them. Without Steph Curry.
Yeah, maybe.
I believe so.
Maybe even the Raptors if Kawhi.
Unintentional omission.
Right.
Raptors as well.
Yeah.
I throw them in there.
Yeah.
And by the way, even if Durant was gone and Curry, like next year, if Durant's wherever he might be, if he's not on the Lakers, but if he's in the Eastern Conference, I still think that there's
vulnerability.
Yeah. I mean, this is the end of the road here. And there's no other league, like the NFL. Salary. Think about when the Broncos won the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. right? Broncos win the Super Bowl. Suddenly, their B plus players start getting paid like A plus pieces by other teams. You're coveted differently. You're viewed differently. In the NFL, usually physical attrition and the finances are what rips apart dynasties, right? In the NBA, it's ego.
Mm-hmm.
It's ego because it's an individual sport where individuality is recognized and monetarily rewarded. Sneakers, endorsements, contracts, posters, this, that. But at the end of the day, you got to mesh with the four other guys you're running with. And I believe that Durant's a great enough teammate, and I believe that Draymond is a great enough teammate to get past this.
Yep.
But the fact that they suspended him, and Bob Myers and Steve Kerr have to hold a press conference to talk about this? This is real. This is not imagined.
Oh, I know
this
it's
is
real.
Not contrived. This is not us stirring up the pot. They have a problem. Now let's see if they can solve it.
Yes,
that's the key.
They're too good not to. That's what it comes down to. Even if they have issues, I think they're still too good.
You still do.
Not to solve it.
Okay. 855-212-4227. Let's get some reaction on this. This is a little different than anything they face, whether it was the Rockets a year ago, which had some pretty good personnel, or, you know, before they got Kevin Durant and, you know, some tough spots they had in the play. This is different when the inmates start to, you know, get out there into the in the schoolyard and start right. looking for Shank and looking to get on each other. You got problems. Now it's a little different. It's a little anarchy. And now Steve Kerr is going to earn his money. This is where Steve Kerr has got to diffuse and really get them going. You believe more than I do that they will resolve this. I'm not saying that they won't, but I'm certainly not saying that they will. This feels different. It looks different. It is different. Let's get some reaction. You know the NBA. You know what you saw. How do you interpret this? 1-855-212-4227. There's nothing like the NBA. Nothing.
You're right.
I mean, the drama, the soap opera, the conversation, the clicks, this is just top shelf stuff. We'll get your calls coming up on the Warriors situation. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com. And in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We'll get these calls, tweets at Tiki and Tierney. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up next segment and on the docket today. Let's see. A little something on Lincoln Riley, Teague. That'll be good. Le'Veon Bell. Also that on Markelle Fultz as well, and Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes. So that'll be a fun inbounds, out of bounds. Second hour, David Njoku. We were supposed to have him on the show yesterday. The Browns, good young tight end. He'll join us today. And based on playing off the Warriors situation, although this is probably making it maybe a little more amplified than it really is, although I think it's kind of real, we're going to rank them. It's a rank them Wednesday. Most volatile locker room situations.
This was fun looking up. There was a bunch of them. That you kind of
a lot of good ones.
You forget about some of them, and then you're like, "Oh man, that one was intense.
Oh yeah,
that one was real."
We'll get
that's
to that.
Good ones.
Yeah, no, I'm sure we got a list right here. Looking forward to that, and also the college football rankings. Nothing changed, but you and I need to have a discussion. If nothing does change, or if this one particular thing does happen, how would that affect that fourth spot? I think we have a little something to debate, which we can do a little later. But I know people want to chime in on the Warriors. Looks messy. And I don't think we're making it up. Scott's in Dallas. Scott's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Scotty?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Okay,
good.
Scott.
I think this definitely says he's going to be a Knick next year. He wins his three titles this year, which ties LeBron. And if he goes to the Knicks and wins a title, he leaps LeBron all time.
It's going to be hard to do that, though.
But are you saying that, Scott, because how down the Knicks have been? It's just the enormity of the accomplishment. Like, if you elevate the Knicks, it's comparable to elevating
exactly.
No, there's something to be said for that.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean,
it's been a long time.
You're 73, man.
Yeah.
And you're almost playing with house money because you already have your three titles.
Yeah, and
fair.
And you've done it in a three-peat, which is the other rare thing to do in basketball. It's been done, obviously, a few times, but it's been a long time since when was that? When was the Lakers? 02? That was the end of their three-peat, the Lakers? I think it was
02.
Right, it was
Bulls
2000, 2001, 2000.
Yeah, 01, 01, 02, 03.
Yeah.
But think about it. Ewing couldn't do it. Bernard King couldn't do it before him. Carmelo couldn't do it after Patrick. Mm-hmm. If Kevin Durant and you know, the one thing, a few people have tweeted me today about this. They're like, man, if he's really as temperamental at Durant,
who,
meaning
Durant?
Durant. As he's perceived, think about it. He had the burner accounts. That's not going to fly in New York.
Yeah, no.
But I'll take my chances that he can find his way. Yeah. I mean, based on the 20 years.
But
of
it's
basketball
interesting because how you mentioned that. I'm thinking you're talking about him being temperamental on the basketball court.
No,
and I don't think that's him.
Not on the court.
I think he's just very competitive.
No doubt about it.
And he is. He just wants to be in the position to always be the one that wins it. That's why he could never get along with Russell Westbrook. Because Russell was the same way. Like, there was no deferring. It was, we're both vying to be the guy that's going to take that shot. for whatever in Golden State over the last 2 years, it's always been KD in the finals, but in the regular season, it's whoever,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Klay will do it one day, Steph will do it another day, even Andre Iguodala will do it one other day, but when it came to the finals, you deferred to KD. And I think that's what he's come to expect, especially when Steph's not there. And so this situation that feels like it got out of hand with Draymond Green is probably just him exercising what he thinks is rightfully his right to be the floor general when Steph isn't around.
Well, I'll tell you this. They are very lucky that Klay Thompson's such a low-maintenance star.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you added his, like if he was a little erratic or if he was a little selfish or if he was a little unpredictable in how he would react, I mean, he is as calm and as predictable, his temperament.
Great.
He's perfect for that
great
group.
He's the perfect teammate.
He really is. Because if anybody gets a little short end of the stick, it's probably Klay Thompson in terms of getting shots, you know?
And nobody talks about him.
Nobody does. I got you. Trust me. You're right.
Yeah.
Now, he's also, I think, a little reluctant. He does some commercial. I think he does chocolate milk, I think.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I don't think that he really wants to be out there front and center. I think he defers naturally.
Yeah,
he's a little withdrawn, and I think he's okay with that. Elliot's in New Jersey, and Elliot's on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Elliot, what's up, buddy?
Hey, BT. Hey, Tiki. How are you guys?
Good, man. What's happening?
What's up, man?
All right. So, BT, you said earlier in the conversation, I want to say something that I had a question for you guys, and I'll let you answer.
Yeah, go for it.
BT, you talked about how the NBA is a very ego-driven sport, and I could not agree with you more. And actually, as a fan, the fact that a lot of these players are more individualized and more based on their egos, it turns me off.
I agree with you, Ellie.
Because it's no fun.
I agree with you.
So my question to you is, and we've seen this in the NFL, that egos can ruin teams, and we see it a little bit in baseball, but not as much. But if you guys had to list the top three most ego-driven players in the league, whether they hurt or harm the league, the NBA, who do you think those three players would be?
I think Westbrook would be on my list.
Yep.
That's a name that jumps out
John Wall is jumping on that list increasingly.
That's a good question.
That is a good question.
Thanks, Elliot.
Because what we've seen with him dismissing his responsibilities at night. Let's call it what it is.
I hear you.
I mean, he's a great player.
Is he really good? He's really good.
He's really good. He could have been great.
True. You know, Carmelo's always been on my list.
Yeah.
Although he's fading so much now, it's almost not even worthwhile putting him on. Westbrook would be on it for me.
Three. That's a tough one.
Because you'd
want to think about a guy like Anthony Davis, but he isn't because of how dominant he is everywhere. But he's not selfish.
I'll tell you a guy who's starting to
he carries himself with a lower profile, despite being an MVP type player.
Yeah, I know where you're saying. I got a name that is. I don't have a problem with him yet, but he's starting to go down this road a little bit. Embiid.
I knew you were going to say that.
Embiid.
But here's the thing, though. It's. He doesn't have the ball in his hands enough to be a selfish baller. You know what I mean? I know what you're saying, and it's because of his personality. It's nothing to do with his game, really.
No, not his game.
It's more about his personality and how he presents himself and how he trash talks and he's unafraid. I mean, he's awesome. I mean, he's a quote a minute really on social media. But I would exclude him from that list. Simply because he's not in the position to dominate the ball like some of these other guys.
That's fair. That's a fair point. Vinny's in New Jersey as well. Vinny's on Tiki and Tierney. What up, Vin? How you doing today?
I'm good. How you doing, man?
Okay, brother. What's up, man?
I'm good. Tiki, how's it going? Listen, Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
He's a pro, right? He's the second best player in the world.
Yep.
Why would he show up his teammate?
I don't think he was showing up his teammate. I think the situation called for him to get the ball. Whoever got the rebound, kick it to KD.
Mm-hmm.
Now, generally speaking, in a regular flow of a Golden State Warriors game, that's the beauty of their team. Anybody can get a rebound, and almost all of them can bring the ball up the court and initiate a play or the play, whatever it may be.
Yep.
But just like when you're running a two-minute offense at the end of a football game or you know, you're in a situation in a baseball in the ninth inning, whether it's managing the rotation or whatever it may be. There's situational circumstances that you practice, you prepare for, and the only way it's going to be successful is if you execute it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
I think in that situation, the Golden State Warriors call for either Steph, but Steph's not available, or KD to have the ball with 5 seconds left. So it wasn't that he was showing up, Draymond. It was that he expected this ball to come his way.
Mm-hmm.
He was almost there for the rebound. Draymond intercepted the rebound and then didn't give it up to him.
Yep.
And so it was frustrating, especially because they ended up losing the game.
Yeah.
And it went into overtime, obviously, but then they ended up losing the game.
Well, listen, I would also think that...
Thanks, Benny.
Yeah, appreciate the call there, Ben. I would think that Draymond Green's earned the latitude to, if he gets a rebound and he sees an opening...
Yeah.
To go
but there
and attack
wasn't,
it.
But there really wasn't.
Well, there was, but he got sloppy. I think this is probably the least talked aspect of the actual play, and I don't know if we can run it again. I don't know if we have it on cue. Well, TV's been so good with it the past couple days, they might. It's like he saw it opening in the paint, and I think he almost got caught in between pass and shoot.
Yeah.
And kind of dribbled off his knee or dribbled off his shin, whatever, and it looked really sloppy. But Draymond Green, and he did this in Michigan State. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is. Look, you see it. And KD starts to clap, like, very loud. So I don't think that's showing up. I think that's just the way they interact. He's clapping right there. Let's go. Give me the rock. And right there, if you were to stop that, he was trying to pass the ball to Iguodala.
Yeah.
If you actually stop that by frame, right before he got inside the three-point arc, you see his arms going like this.
Yeah.
Like he's going to chest pass it.
You're right.
So I didn't see an incredible amount of selfishness. Now,
no,
I saw him ignore
it.
Kevin Durant.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean that he was saying to screw, you know, to help the four other guys, I'm going to be hero.
He was
trying to pass to Iguodala.
Well, he was saying, I got this. I can lead it too. It's not just your responsibility.
Watch this, Teak. Go frame by frame if you can, guy. I don't. So, see, he was trying to pass that ball for sure.
Yeah, he was gathering to pass, and it got
100%.
Knocked out of his hand. The difference, though, if KD's bringing that ball up the court,
yep,
that's either a shot or a pass. Draymond was not shooting the three-pointer there.
I'm not nitpicking as what's the better option.
KD was the better option.
Oh, that goes without saying.
He could take that shot as the clock was ticking down. I think it was at 1 second or so.
Well, he could also pass over you because he's almost 7 feet, where Draymond's 6'6".
You're right.
No, there's a multitude of things that went wrong. But all I'm saying is, you know, for us, not that we've done this, but I think we have to be fair to Draymond Green a little bit here because he seems to be the villain in this situation, and he doesn't mind wearing that hat. But Draymond Green's got a pretty decent handle for a man his size. You know, he's pretty adept with his footwork. He's a pretty skilled passer. He's a pretty diverse player. So if there's an opening, go for it, man. I mean, that's the beauty of the Warriors. Five guys, positionless basketball. You know, now, if that's DeMarcus Cousins when he comes back and he's trying to create from 35, 40 feet away from the rim, that's clearly the wrong play.
Yeah.
But, you know, this is not going away. And I cannot wait to – the Warriors, they're always must watch. Now they're really must watch.
Yeah, you're right.
To judge the interactions. Let's say if Draymond Green, when he comes back, he gets fouled, he makes a bucket. Does Durant dap him up? I want to see because play this real fast because we're going to move on. And I meant to play this earlier. This has the question. You tell me if this sounds like somebody, Durant, who's – already mentally buried the hatchet.
Hey, Kevin, have you and Draymond been able to hash anything out?
No.
Do you see that happening anytime soon?
I'm sure it will. We got a long season ahead.
Did he cross the line with anything last night that was said?
I'm going to keep that in house. That's what we do here. I mean, obviously, I know you guys got a job to do, but I'm not trying to get nobody no headlines. What happened, happened. We're trying to move on. I'm just trying to play basketball.
Mm-hmm. He's taking the high road.
Yeah, smart.
No, very smart. Makes, very savvy makes, move
don't
there.
Don't say anything. Make the story go away.
Mm-hmm. Problem is, guys like us won't let it. All right, let's get the update from Jay. We've got inbounds, out of bounds after that. Jay Berman's update. Here's Jay. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. Here, time to ask the pros. Give you a chance to ask us anything you want. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Here's how you do it. Pretty simple. Just tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Use the hashtag Ask the Pros and we'll go through them. We'll take the best one, and we will answer it for you. At CBS Sports Radio, hashtag Ask the Pros. Make sure you stick around, listen later on, and we'll get it for you. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs, guarantee low prices, and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every single day. All right, 43 minutes, just about past the hour. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network here. Of course, Series XM 206. Week 11 tomorrow at the Packers in Seattle. Also, next hour, we've got David Njoku for the Browns. But before that, I know you're really looking forward to crafting this conversation mm-hmm. about a possible situation that could throw a really big wrench in the back end of the Final Four for the college football playoffs,
right?
You're right,
because the college football playoff committee has a bias, at least in some people's estimation, for the SEC. Mm. And so some circumstances could play out. We kind of saw this last year as well, where the SEC gets the benefit of the doubt because of how good some of the teams in the SEC
are. I'm looking forward to having that combo. We'll rank them as well. Most volatile locker room situations based on the Durant and Draymond Green stuff. You want to get us on the phones, 855-212-4227. And as I said on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, inbounds, out of bounds. You ready? It's a going today.
Yep, let's go.
Here we go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. They're in his weekly spot. I don't know what they pay Jerry Jones. He probably doesn't even need the money. Whatever it is, it's not a
nothing.
Worth because
he just gets to talk.
But this generates headlines like no other
right.
paid spot.
Every week. Every week.
It's amazing. 105.3 The Fan in Dallas, Jerry Jones chatting up as usual. And the topic shifted to Oklahoma Sooners head coach Lincoln Riley possibly going to Dallas to take over for Jason Garrett.
Coach Riley is outstanding. And what he's doing is real, real impressive. It doesn't surprise me because of proximity or because of his success that when you start to conversations about the Cowboys changing coaches that a coach of his stature would come into the picture, but total speculation.
Okay, so there's Jerry laying down the law. Believe him if you want. If Lincoln Riley has the option of taking the Cowboys or the Browns head coaching job, he should take the Dallas job over the one in Cleveland, in or out.
Yeah, give a shout out to our boys, our intercom colleagues down there, Sean and RJ.
That's right.
I'm going to say
shout
out of bounds, BT. Out of bounds. He knows Baker Mayfield really well. He can implement a very similar system. Maybe not the exact system because it is the NFL. It's not college football. But a very similar system if he wants to evolve. It's going to take a lot of work. That's the other thing you got to think about. If Lincoln Riley is going to transition to the National Football League, converting that college system into an NFL one is not going to be easy. But mm-hmm. if he has a choice and he's committed to going to the league, I would say the Browns over the Cowboys because working for Jerry Jones is a difficult proposition. It takes a special kind of coach to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we may criticize Jason Garrett, but he's kind of mastered how to work for Jerry Jones. Not that he's mastered how to be a great coach,
yep.
but he's mastered
yep.
how to work for Jerry Jones, which is harder, it's easier said than done, I think.
I'm going to say out of bounds, but it's a different situation that could derail you from getting the job done. You're right. Jerry's shadow is as big as any in sport. But the Haslams, there's a reason why there's been so many head coaches.
Right.
And they just, it's just a conveyor belt.
Right.
Next, 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 next. So that would worry me a little bit here. But I'm going to say out of bounds, and I'm going to go with the Browns' position as an advantage over the Dallas Cowboys for this reason. I'm going to look in my division, and I'm going to say, okay, let's see. Big Ben's 37.
That's a point.
Le'Veon Bell's going to be gone. All right, AB's 30, whatever he is, 31 eventually. I think he's going to be 31 next season.
Yep.
Not that they're finished, but it's starting to hit the end there. Let's see. The Baltimore Ravens, pretty good chance they'll have a new head coach and new quarterback combination next season.
They're resetting.
Yeah. And the Bengals, I mean, you know, Marvin might be back. Dalton probably is back. But do they really do anything that really matters anyway? So if I'm looking to take a big jump forward and stay there for a while, unlike having to deal with Carson Wentz and some other situations, Dallas's, the Redskins' young defense, I think the quicker job and even more sustainable winning job would be the Browns, as crazy as that sounds.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, Teak, how about this? So after not reporting to the team yesterday, Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell will officially miss the entire season, and Big Ben discussed not having Bell around.
I texted him yesterday before the deadline, asking him, texting him, telling him, hoping he was going to show up. And if he decided not to, I wish him nothing but the best. He was a great teammate, a great football player. To each their own on what they want to walk away from.
And by the way, apparently Le'Veon Bell did not respond to the text of Ben Roethlisberger, just so you know. Now, some reports are confident Bell and his agent already know which team he's going to sign with next year, hence the route that they've taken, and including Vegas, many people think it's going to be my Jets. Gangrene right now, plus 300 to land Bell, followed by the Raiders at plus 500. The Bucks and the Eagles are a plus 700, and the Packers at plus 750. So, in or out, take the Jets are the best landing spot for Bell.
I'm going to say out of bounds, BT, because I think a team that's more ready to win right now, and it's not even on this list that Vegas is throwing out there, is the Washington Redskins. I know they have Adrian Peterson this year. Le'Veon Bell is not playing this year. Next year, I'm not sure Adrian Peterson is going to be pushing towards 1,000 yards plus as a 34-year-old back at that point. Le'Veon could fit in nicely there. Their offensive line, when healthy, is really good with Morgan Moses and crew. They have two guys on IR right now, the Redskins, and so that's hurting them a little bit. Mm-hmm. But I'd say the Redskins over the Jets would be the better fit because they're ready to win right now, the Redskins.
All right, I'm going to disagree for this reason. I'm going to answer this from how I believe Le'Veon Bell is sorting through this, all the emotions and all the options he's going to have to face here. His objective is to get paid, because if his objective was truly just to win, mm-hmm. he'd be in Pittsburgh. And he'd be making some money. True. To have a chance to win a Super Bowl.
True.
So while you might be right, I think the Jets are a couple of steps behind being ready to win. Mm-hmm. Clearly, got to find a new head coach. You got to hope Darnold's the guy. You got to get some receivers. Got to get a pass rush. And Tremaine Johnson stealing money. He looks like he's not the right choice at quarterback. So they've got a lot of things in front of them. But based on his objective, which seems to be money, the Jets have more than anybody. I'm going to say the Jets is the answer. Inbounds.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Markelle Fultz, we discussed this yesterday. The double clutch free throw attempt on Monday. You wouldn't even try that playing horse. I know I wouldn't. Now, however, Fultz is denying the hitch had anything to do with his mental issues, saying this is an interesting. Come on, man. Saying the ball slipped out of my hand, so I had to do what I had to do, but I'm not really worried about it. End quote. Elton Brand didn't exactly buy the excuse, but he wasn't particularly worried either.
I saw the free throw for sure. And I've been seeing him work this summer, all this season. And he has times like that when something like that happens. But, you know, following that, he shot it very well. It looked very fluid. So he's going to have some ups and downs. He's going to have more ups than downs. And you saw the talent level in flashes, how talented he is.
Of course, that's Elton Brand, who engineered the trade. The new GM of Sixers, by the way. You got Jimmy Butler making his Philly debut tonight. We'll get into that a little later. In or out, Markelle Fultz's excuse for his awful free throw attempt is
out of bounds. In or out. BT, out of bounds. There's didn't slip. It's maybe his mind slipped a little bit and figure out what he wanted to really do there with the shot, but out of bounds here. He's got a hitch, and I think the 76ers need to find a way to get some assets for him and put him in a different situation, as we talked about yesterday. Jimmy Butler has already ascended to his starting role. Fultz will go back to the bench, and very quickly he'll become expendable, I think, on this Philadelphia 76ers team. As much as that sucks, it is what it is.
Yep.
Get some assets for him.
I agree. First of all, it's not a good excuse. It's out of bounds, and it's sad. I'm rooting for the young man, but I said this yesterday. You got to trade him, because I don't know that you can concurrently, you know, accomplish.
Agreed.
What they're trying to accomplish as a team.
No doubt.
And this young man trying to plow through what appears to be a serious mental impediment. Here's the thing, too. When you think about the isolation that one feels when they're 15 feet away at the free throw line, I would think that would happen to him more often at the free throw line.
Agreed.
If we're playing in the flow, if we're playing half court.
You're right.
And I'm coming off a pick and I'm catching. I'm not really thinking. But as soon as the ref hands me that ball and it's just me at the free throw line, that's where those things, you become paralyzed, and I think that it would really take over those mental demons. It's terrible, but you're going to have to trade him, and I agree. I say out of bounds there.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, TK, about this. Another week and another noteworthy allegation against Urban Meyer and the Buckeyes here. This by Stadium Network's Brett McMurphy. This time, former Buckeye Trayvon Grimes told McMurphy he transferred out of Columbus because Zach Smith called him the N-word and that the team didn't do anything about it. Now, as you can imagine, Meyer fired back when asked about it yesterday.
My first reaction was, like everyone's around here, was irate. And our players were, over the top irate. When they came to see me, they were, you know, extremely upset that that kind of accusation would be made about something that is absolutely not tolerated. And quite honestly, the most preposterous thing I ever heard. And being involved in college athletics, well, we got a big game this week and move on. But certainly looking into legal action. You know, I don't know. I don't understand the rules and the laws of the land that say that you can just, you know, accuse people of something that did not happen.
Okay, there you go. Inbounds, out of bounds. Teams and players should have legal recourse against reporters who publish false reports.
Look, this is out of bounds because this is based on a report that came from a legitimate source. It wasn't even as if it was a anonymous source, which you know that I hate. So Trayvon Grimes told Brett McMurphy this. Now, we obviously know the situation that persists with Ohio State and Brett McMurphy, but you can't take it out on him simply because he spoiled what was, I don't know.
No, I hear you. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say inbounds, though. I'm going to say that I'm going to need a little more than he said
for something like this. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but what I'm saying is just answering the question. I need to be able to control, you know, the narrative of my life.
It's a big can of worms.
I understand that, but it's also a big can of worms if I don't respond back and somebody's claiming that I use the N-word.
Respond back like Urban Meyer did.
I hear you.
Yeah, you can't.
If I could sue him, I would. I don't care what anybody says. If you say that I said that, I'm going to try to sue you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.